So good morning, everyone. So today we're going to begin a sermon series called Living a Life of Discipleship. And as the name suggests, for the next couple of weeks we'll be focusing on what the Bible has to teach us on, well, discipleship. But what is discipleship? I mean, we hear this term used in church a lot, and I want us to make sure that we understand what it actually means. But before we get into that, I have a question for you guys. How many of you guys use Twitter? Raise your hand. Do you actually use Twitter? Really? No one here uses Twitter. Well, okay, that's okay because I don't use Twitter either. So apparently, I have an account. And the only reason why I had one is because one of my undergraduate classes required me to make one. So I made a Twitter account. And, you know, I thought since I had one, might as well use it to start to follow people or subscribe to, like, any of the posts that they make. So I followed some of those big-name pastors and some Christian organizations, too. But that's about all I did. I didn't tweet anything, I didn't make any posts. So as a result, not a lot of people know that I have a Twitter account. And because of that, you know, you would expect that I won't get a lot of requests for people to follow me on Twitter. So one day though, I got a notification. And I was like, oh, what's this? So I tapped it, and it was a follow request. And who's it from, you may ask? So apparently, Jesus wants to follow me on Twitter. Or at least someone who had created an account and that portrayed Jesus. I don't know who is that or how that got here. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus, you're not supposed to follow me. I'm supposed to be following you. But right now we're talking about a different type of follow. So we're not talking about following as in following someone on Twitter, or following someone's blog, or subscribing to their posts or updates. But when we are talking about following Jesus, we're talking about being his disciple. Now, what is a disciple? The original Greek word for a disciple literally means learner. So we can define discipleship as someone who is a learner and a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ as a believer. So if you are a Christian, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior and what he did for you on the cross, you are his disciples. And because of that, Jesus has called you to do discipleship. Now, what is discipleship? Well, discipleship is, I define it as the process of investing in a relationship with other believers with a goal to point each other towards Christ and growing spiritually to become more conformed to his image. So in other words, we as believers, we want to help each other grow closer to God every day so that we can become more like him each and every day. So in this series, for the next couple of weeks, this is what we'll be focusing on and seeing what does the Bible have to say about discipleship? What does it have to teach us about that? But today, we're focusing in particularly on the call to discipleship. We first need to understand that we are called to by Jesus to go make disciples or to participate in discipleship. So we're going to focus on a passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take it out and please turn there. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And just to give a little context in this passage, so at this time, Jesus had already been crucified on the cross, and after 3 days, he already rose from the grave again. And then, this is the time right before Jesus' ascension back into heaven. So Jesus had called all of his disciples, not just 12, but the hundreds who had followed him before, and they met in the mountain of Galilee. And Jesus gives them a command. And we know that this is really important, because this is not the last thing that he was saying before he ascended back to heaven, but one of the last things. So we know that this is an important thing. You know, just like how if like you were going to go on a long trip, or if you were going to go move to a different country or a different state, and you weren't going to see some of your friends again, so usually the last words you would say to them is kind of important. So you want to make it meaningful. So in this passage, this is what Jesus has to command and what he has to say to his disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Let us read it together. I'm going to be reading from the ESV version. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for gathering each and every one of us here before you. And I ask of you this morning that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and teach us, Lord, what you have to say about how you have called us into discipleship. Maybe for some of us, we do not know what discipleship is. Or maybe for some of us, we do know what it is and we feel the need to be discipled. But Lord, whatever situation that we're in today, I pray that you would give us a learning spirit to be able to see and understand what you have to teach us in this passage. So Father, we want to thank you, and we lift these things up in your Son's holy name. Amen. So in this passage, I believe it's going to be teaching us three things today and help us answer three questions. So you guys can write these questions down in the notes that you have right there. So the first question that we're going to answer, we're going to ask, why do Christians make disciples? Okay. Why do Christians make disciples? Second question we're going to ask and be able to answer from this passage, how should Christians make disciples? And then finally, for the third question, what did Jesus promise as Christians make disciples? So again, those three. Number one, why do Christians make disciples? Two, how should Christians make disciples? And number three, what did Jesus promise as Christians make disciples? Let's start with the first question. So once again, why do Christians make disciples? Let us start reading from verse 18 again. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So right off the bat, before Jesus even says anything else, Jesus talks about himself and how he has authority. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So all authority in heaven. So this means that Jesus has authority over all the angels, over all demons, and any other heavenly rulers. And at the same time, Jesus stresses the fact that he has authority over earthly rulers and authority. Now in your life, you know that God has placed many figures of authority. Like, for example, your parents, right? You know, your parents will tell you, go take out the trash, go make your bed, go wash the dishes. And you know you should obey out of love and respect for them. Your teachers or professors, if you're in college, you know, they give you homework to do, and you know you should do them because, what? They have authority over your grade. At the same time, say, if you work, your boss, your employer, has authority over you. The governments, they put laws for us to obey and follow. So for all these things, we know that we obey these earthly authorities. And if that's the case, then how much more do we need to obey Jesus, in which all authority has been given to him, in which he has authority even over all in heaven and all on earth? So that's one thing to note. And second, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus is also mentioning the fact that this authority has been given to him. Now, who's it from? And particularly, it's God the Father. Now, remember from like when you read in the Bible about Jesus' baptism and his transfiguration, there was a voice from heaven, which is God the Father, speaking during those times, and they said a similar thing. He said, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So right there, God is already stressing that authority that he has given to Jesus Christ. And throughout his earthly ministry, we see how Jesus has exercised his authority. Jesus has authority over sin because he's able to forgive sin. He has authority over sickness because he healed people. He has authority over demons because he casted demons out of people. And I think most importantly, he has authority over death, because we know he conquered death after he rose from the grave, after his crucifixion. So you might want to ask, okay, this is the first thing that Jesus mentioned before anything else in this passage. What does this authority mean to us? The fact that Jesus is stressing his authority shows that he is the one who defines what is our priorities in our life. It means that he can be able to send, guide, and empower all those who he wishes. Now, he has chosen some of us to serve, or called some of us to serve in this area, or to go in this field or that field. Jesus is the one who has that power to command us. Now, I know that, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we go through, or we've experienced a lot where people have misused authority and abused it, and as a result, people get hurt. But Jesus is a God of love. So even though all authority has been given to him, he knows what is best for us. He knows what he wants when he is calling us to do this or do that. So because of this, then we come to the next verse, picking up. Let's stop in verse 18 again. Once again, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore," so therefore, because of the authority that has been given to me, "so go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So this is the command that Jesus gives to us and calls us to do. So let's answer our first question. Why do Christians make disciples? So Christians make disciples because Jesus commanded us to with authority. Christians make disciples because Jesus commanded us to with authority. Okay, and our next question, number two, we will see, how should Christians make disciples? Let's pick it off from verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So in this sentence, at least in English, we see many verbs here. We see go, we see make disciples, baptizing, teaching. But really, in the Greek language, the main imperative verb that we see there, or the main command, is actually make disciples. Make disciples is the main verb. But then, what about all the other verbs there? Go, baptized teaching. So apparently those things, they're participles, or in other words, they modify the main verb of making disciples. So it's almost like adverbs in English. Right? So take this sentence for example. Ivan fails miserably and horribly at playing Flappy Bird. So main verb is fail. How did I fail? Miserably and horribly. Those are adverbs that modify the main verb of fail. So likewise, it's the same sort of structure here. Make disciples is the main command. So that's why we can be able to ask this question, how should Christians make disciples? And we'll see through the verbs go, baptize, and teach. So to answer this question, I selected three E's to help us remember. So how should Christians make disciples? Christians should make disciples through evangelism, immersion, and equipment. And yes, I know the second one, immersion, begins with I, but it still has that E sound at the beginning. So once again, evangelism, immersion, and equipment. Okay, let's start with evangelism. Verse 19 again. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So the verb go, at least in Greek, means to lead over, to carry over, to transfer. And we're focusing on evangelism here. And why is that? Well, when Jesus commands us to make disciples, you know, discipleship is only for believers. And once again, we're supposed to guide them to grow closer to each other in Christ. But how can you make disciples of all nations when there are a lot of people who do not even know Christ yet? So that's why it is necessary that in the process of making disciples, evangelism is one of the things that Jesus would tell us to do. So in your life, you know, there are people in your life, whether they are friends or even your own family members, who do not know Christ yet. Do we have that desire to go and be able to share the gospel with them? And, you know, once again, like, we can't stress enough the fact that evangelism is so important in this process of making disciples. So I'm going to give you like a quick illustration. Do you guys know much about Google Glass? So it's like this device that resembles a pair of glasses. It's got a screen right in front of the right eye, and it connects like via Bluetooth to your cell phone, so you can receive like text messages, your email, surf the internet, and it also has a camera right in front. So this product is still being in development, but the thing is, there are a lot of concerns with it in terms of privacy, in terms of how it is accepted. Now, for Google, though, if they want this product to be, you know, successful, they have to make it socially accepted to everyone so that there is no fear and concern. They have to make it so that it is a social norm. And but recently I read a Business Insider article that was saying how even the Google employees and developers themselves, they don't want to wear Google Glass out in the world. So in connection with evangelism, I'm not saying that we should go out and share the gospel and talk about Jesus and sell him like a product. No, I'm not trying to do that. But the focus here is that, you know, for at least for the Google employees, if they themselves aren't, as the developers of this product, if they themselves aren't even going out there and wearing the Google Glass and trying to create the social norm, then how can it succeed? So likewise, we as Christians, if we know Christ as our Savior, and that's the best thing that or the best relationship that we ever have, and if we aren't going out and sharing that with other people, then how can they know Christ? And as a result, how can they become His disciples if we don't even go out? Very quickly, I want to share this verse. You don't have to turn to it, in Romans chapter 10. verses 14 and 15. It says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" Now, are we sent? And of course, yes. In this passage in Matthew, Jesus is sending us. And because we are sent, we are to preach. And when we preach, then other people can hear. And when they hear, then they can be able to believe. So that is evangelism. Evangelism is necessary in the process to make disciples. Now, our second one, immersion. Start off from baptizing. So baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I guess very often a lot of people can use this verse to justify, oh no, you need to be baptized as a requirement to be saved. No, but actually that's not the case. Because the word baptizing here in Greek literally means to immerse or submerge. So another way to translate this verse can be baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is focusing on the stress that someone becomes changed, becomes transformed, and start a new covenant relationship with their Father. So it's not only the fact that we need to evangelize, but that second step is that those people need to believe, and that's why we need to go evangelize and show them to be in this part of this relationship. So once again, the Greek word for baptizing is baptizo. Now, very often actually people can mix that up with bapto, which means just simply to dip, which has a temporary sense. So in 200 BC, there was this Greek poet and physician. His name was Nicander, and he has this ancient recipe for making pickles. Yes, pickles. And in this recipe, he uses those two verbs. First step, you take the cucumber. Yes, I know Cecilia likes cucumbers. But he says to focus on, the first thing to do is bapto, or just to dip the cucumber in hot boiling water. So this is a temporary thing, just a dip. But then later he uses the word baptizo. So the next step is to baptize the cucumber, or immerse or submerge it into a solution of vinegar. And when that happens, there is a chemical change that happens. So that cucumber suddenly changes into a pickle because of the vinegar solution. So the word baptizo focuses on not a temporary change, but a permanent change. So that's why if you guys are Christians, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are no longer a cucumber. You are a pickle. The old is gone, the new has come. So this is the focus of this part of the verse when Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We want to lead them into a new covenant relationship with God where there is change, where they are transformed. Okay, and finally, the last thing about how should Christians make disciples is equipment, or in other words, to equip one another, to teach. So let's read there, starting from verse 20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So, let's say that someone becomes a new believer. They are a new creation. They are born again. So in a sense, they are a spiritual baby. And all of us right here, we're at different stages in our spiritual life. And we all need to be nurtured. We all need to be cared for to grow closer and closer to Christ. Remember at the beginning when I defined discipleship, the end goal of discipleship is that we are pointing each other towards Christ so that we can become more and more like Him. So Jesus is telling us to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And that comes from God's Word. That comes from the Bible. So here's another question that I want to ask you guys to consider too. Are we discipling one another? I mean, yes, of course, we have a personal time with God. We read the Bible ourselves. We can expect God to be able to reveal things to us, and we can grow personally with Him. But often at the same time, you know, God created the church. We aren't supposed to go through our spiritual lives alone. We're supposed to be able to help each other, help one another up, and be able to teach one another what God says in His Word. Maybe for a lot of us, we're struggling with things, with sin. And, you know, of course, this is a spiritual warfare. You know, God or Satan is trying to pull us away from God. So that's why discipleship is so necessary and so important. I mean, you know, if you think about it, the world is discipling us. Now, how, may you ask? In our culture and in the media today, isn't the world teaching us things? It's teaching us how relationships should be. It tells us what love should be. It tells us what we should strive for, you know, to get a lot of money, to get to focus on yourself. And it will even tell you that you don't need God. You don't need to submit to anyone or any authority. So this is why there is an urgency that we need to disciple one another as Christian believers in the church. So what does discipleship look like then? If you are a Sunday school teacher, you know, there's some Sunday school teachers here, and at the same time, some of the high schoolers have taught the children Sunday school. When you teach them, you are discipling them. And some of the adults that are here, you guys are parents, and as you train up your children to walk in the ways of the Lord, you are discipling them. And also for, we can disciple one another. So maybe you have friends, maybe who are believers at school. You know, do you guys meet up often? Do you guys check on each other, see how you are doing in your walk with God? Do you guys teach each other? And look around you. I think all of us right here, we need to be discipled. We need to disciple one another. So I know that's why, like, in the church right now, we have started a discipleship ministry. And maybe for many of you, there had been an adult who had approached you and asked you whether you would consider and pray about starting a discipleship relationship. So meaning to meet up once in a while just to be able to see how you're doing, what you're struggling with, how can they encourage you and point you towards Christ. And if someone did approach you about that, I invite you to pray about it. And maybe you yourself, like, if you feel that you feel the need to be discipled, I encourage you to, you know, even go as far as approach someone and ask them whether they can disciple you, whether they are an adult or not. So these are, so actually this teaching part is mainly the whole focus on discipleship. The other things that we have talked about, from evangelism and immersion, all that is necessary or precursory, because, you know, you have to become a believer. You have to know Christ in order to be discipled, to grow closer and closer to God every day. So to wrap up for this, how should Christians make disciples? Christians should make disciples through evangelism, immersion, and equipment, or equipping one another. Finally, number three, our last question for this passage. What did Jesus promise as Christians make disciples? And then we see that in the very last sentence of this Gospel of Matthew. So Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. So what did Jesus promise as Christians go out and make disciples? So Jesus promised he will be with them. Jesus promised that he will be with them. So what does this mean? Yes, we see Jesus calling us and commanding us to go and make disciples of all nations. But the fact that he promises that he will be with us shows that we are not alone. He's not just sending out us and telling us to do something without his help, without his strength. So discipleship actually requires dependency. And we know that Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit to be with us as our counselor, as our helper. You know, and like sometimes the physical act of teaching, you know, we can often rely on our own strength. Like right now, I am trying to teach you guys. I'm trying to instill knowledge into you. But how that works in your heart, I can't control. See, it is the Holy Spirit who causes spiritual growth. It is the Holy Spirit who is able to speak to your heart. As we hear from the Word of God, how is that seed planted in you? And then how is God using that seed to grow and bear fruit in you? We can't control that. God is the one who does that. So that's why it is also necessary that Jesus promises that he will be with us, that he will provide us strength, that he would be able to help us. And, you know, very often, like, let's say, in a discipleship relationship, you know, it takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of time. You know, we're meeting outside of church and you know, we're really busy. You know, we've got schoolwork. Maybe we have a job. And very often, we can just put aside how our spiritual growth or meeting with one another to be discipled. That's why for next week's message, we're going to be focusing on the cost of discipleship. So today we focused on the call to discipleship. But now, for some people, even if we feel, yes, this is what we need to disciple one another, and you're all gung-ho about it, but that's why the next message is to talk about the cost of discipleship. Jesus wants to share that there is a cost or some sacrifices that will have to be made if you want to be his disciple, if you want to follow him. So that will be next week's message. To wrap up again, from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Our first question was, why do Christians make disciples? And we saw that Christians make disciples because Jesus commanded us to with authority. Jesus has all authority which had been given to him to be able to send us off to do and make disciples. Our second question, how should Christians make disciples? Christians should make disciples through evangelism, through sharing the gospel, through immersion, meaning, well, I guess I'd say baptism, or showing or pointing them to a relationship where they are changed and transformed with their God. And finally, equipment, or equipping one another, or teaching one another what God says in his word. And it's not just the knowledge part of it, but to also to obey what God says. And finally, what did Jesus promise as Christians make disciples? Jesus promised that he will be with them. Jesus promised that he will be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's the one who provides us the strength as we go out and make disciples, or as we go out and serve him in the different ministries that he has called us to. Let us pray. Oh Father, you are such a great and amazing God. And we want to thank you and praise you for what you have shown us through your word today. We know and understand that you have called us. If we are believers of you, if we are your disciples, you have called us to go and make disciples. Now the thing is, are we obedient to that call? And Lord, I pray that you are working in our hearts today. Speak to us, Lord. Do we have that desire to and have that burden to disciple one another? Or do we even are ourselves, do we feel the need to be discipled one another? We know that you desire for all of us, first, to come to a knowing relationship with you. But at the same time, you also desire us to grow closer and closer to you every day, to become more conformed to your image, to be more like you. And Father, we want to thank you that you have provided and taught us that discipleship is the way that where we can accomplish that, where we can be more like you. So Father, I pray that you will continue to be with us during the rest of this time of worship. Continue to speak to us, and may you continue to be glorified as we live out this life to honor and glorify you. So Father, we want to thank you and lift these things up in your Son's great and holy name. Amen.